praise and glory. And we give you praise, Lord, and thank you. Thank you, Lord. You show up every Sunday. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And we give you praise and we give you glory for who you are, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, Lord, I pray that this message will be pleasing to you. And that your Holy Spirit will just touch us in a very special way today, Lord. Touch us, Lord, the way we've never been touched before. That we can leave here, Lord, so empowered by your love, your power, your presence, and your mighty Holy Spirit. That these words, Lord, be pleasing to you. That you might use me, you might use us to further your kingdom, to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. The people said, amen and amen. A pastor is about halfway through his three-hour message when he said, friends, I don't mind when you look at your watches to see what time it is, but I have a real problem when you lift up your watches and put them up to your ears to see if they're still running. This morning's message is going to be an interesting one. I hope it's not so that leaves you so flat that you think that it will never end or it's just too long or whatever. Because I'm going to be talking about pretty much what Kathy was praying, as the Spirit was leading her, about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. But I'm going to be very brief. You could do a whole sermon on the subject of the Holy Spirit. Today I can't do that, obviously. We would be here more than 3 hours. But this morning I want to talk about dreams, visions, and impressions, and that are very important for us to understand, especially, you know, with us being Pentecostal, who we are. We're not ashamed of that, so that's who we are. I want to talk about these things also to keep them in perspective where, according to the Bible, where God wants them to be. I want to begin by saying that I believe that every true Christian is to live their lives to the fullest through the power of living a life in the Spirit. And so I want us to open, if we want to look at Galatians 5, 16 through 18. Paul said, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not glorify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are under law. To walk in the Spirit means to live our daily lives under the control of the Holy Spirit. To be led by the Spirit, it seems to me, is to be free from the bondage of the flesh. Paul here was talking about a conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. Our flesh, our sinful natures. So they're always in conflict. I don't care how long you've been a Christian or whatever, your flesh will always be in conflict with the Spirit. Are any of us here sinless? You come to know that Jesus, we all sin and fall short of the mark time and time again. Isn't it wonderful that God loves us in spite of ourselves? You know, if I were God, I would have zapped myself a long time ago. If I were God, I would have just wiped us out. But God does. He loves us. But there's always that tension, that conflict is going on. So I want to talk about some thoughts. I want to talk about the life in the Spirit and the supernatural manifestations that come upon us, that can come upon us. To me, it's just so important that we do this. You know, I know some people have a real hard time with demonic influence, with demons and all those kind of things, and kind of spook some people out. It does. That's been part of my life as a pastor and minister. God has always put me into the deliverance ministries. We talk about our gifts and what our gifts are. You better have a gift of discernment to be in deliverance ministries, because if you don't, bad things can happen. I've seen it happen to people, or heard of stories from primary sources happen to people that are doing things in the spirit and deliverance that they should not be doing. God does the deliverance. God does the healing. We don't. He just uses us. But I want to talk about that today just a little bit. I was asked a while back to minister to a young lady who, well, how can I put this? She was a member of my daughter's church, and she was married and had children, but she just kind of went from man to man to man to man. She never honored her wedding vows, her marriage vows, and she was very, I don't know what you call them these days, call them loose or whatever. I just throw it out, loose, that sounds good. Anyway, so I was asked to come in because it was felt that she had some kind of a generational spirit or something in her that shouldn't be there. So I was asked to come in and meet with her and talk with her. As I talk with this young lady, it's very evident to me that she did have, her life is filled with horrible, bad situations, of a lot of promiscuity was going on in the family and throughout her generations, and she was involved in it. She wanted to be free from that. So I worked with her for, not alone, I worked with her for maybe an hour, hour and a half, just trying to see how God was guiding this situation with her. And the more we talked, the more it was very evident that there was a force inside of her that shouldn't be there. And so as we went through the deliverance process, her countenance changed. She went from a young lady that was just, you know, they had the look in their eyes. And suddenly she was just blossoming and felt the presence of the Lord in her. And she was confessing her sins and asking God to heal her and make her stronger, you know, in Him. And so forth. She went to deliverance from this former life. And after all this happened, Jan was there, my daughter was there. And so I said to her, I said, now you're going to have to be careful. You're going to have to be careful that if you're not involved in your church, you're not doing study, you need to find Christian connection and friends. You need to connect with God and His Word, because if you don't do that, you will fall, and you will fall harder than before. I said, understand, hear what I'm saying. And so she shook her head, yes, yes, and there for about 2 or 3 weeks, she's involved in church and connecting with people. Then suddenly, she stopped going to church. And it took 1 week, 2 weeks, three, four, a month, or whatever. And I said, whatever happened to so-and-so? And they said, well, she's fallen right off. She's worse than she was before. I'm just saying, see what happens, that's the human, that's the sinful nature. The sinful nature is always in conflict with the Spirit of God. And it doesn't matter how strong you are in your faith. Remember when you were saved, how wonderful you felt, and God was good, and you felt so great in the Lord. But after a period of time, then you go, well, that kind of wears off a little bit. You get into a normal routine. That's also part of the flesh, because the flesh will rise up. That's just what it does. It will rise up. That sinful nature will rise up. So we always need to counter the sinful nature with the Word of God. And that's why I want to talk about some of these supernatural manifestations today in terms of God leading us. And I want to look at the first one is I want to look at true and false guidance from John 4, verses 1 through, here I go again, 1 through 3a. Don't ask me, that must be my sinful nature, because when I go A and B, if I'm not doing the whole passage, then I break it down. Anyway, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Today we are bombarded with religious TV programs. We have books. We have conferences. We have workshops on the faith. Unfortunately, many of them are not true, or they're based on a half-truth at best. Are you with me? Now, we were invited years ago to a conference, a prophecy conference here in Aurora, and a friend invited us. I was a little bit reluctant to go, but I thought, well, okay, I'll go. And my discernment when I got there wasn't very positive. But I wanted to make sure that I was out of the way, and just because I just want to be there, I felt that way. But it just didn't seem to be right to me, because it seemed to be about prosperity. It seemed to be about, I remember one night they had a pastor and his wife were retiring, so they brought him up to the stage, and all the prophets gathered around them, started praying over these people, and all they talked about is, in your retirement, you're going to have this, and God's going to bless you with a new house, He's going to bless you with this and that. And at that point, honestly, I was saying, oh please, this is not right. It wasn't resonating in my spirit that this was right. And we have to remember one thing, whether it be prophecy, whatever God gives us, He gives it to us to edify the body and to bring Him glory in it. And if that's not the case, you run from that. And some churches getting caught into that. They get caught into the emotion of it, and before you know it, it's not scriptural, it's not biblical. So we need to always call ourselves to that. If I'm doing something that's not biblical, I would expect you to call me up and press me on that. I'll do the same thing to you, because this is so dangerous and so important that we understand what I'm saying. Now, I don't have all the answers, but I do know in my life God has spoke to me and spoke to us in many, many ways. And I don't know maybe I won't do this now. Maybe I will. Jan, what should I do? I'm going back and forth. I'll save this one for later. I'm just setting you up on the false prophecy, because we're going to come back to that. We need to understand that as Christians, we are called to walk in the faith and not be gullible. That's what I really want us to see. We need to understand that you know, John said, check every message to see if it comes from God. Every message, that's my message as well. You know, you have the scriptures up here, you know, then go home and say, well, I don't know, he said this. Well, I need to check and make sure that that's right or whatever. I have no problems with that. I would expect that. If somebody's preaching a false doctrine, whatever, I want to know about it. Or if I'm hearing it, then I'm going to say something. See what I'm saying? So check every, and how do you, there are a variety of ways of checking against false teachings. And one is to compare it with God's Word. Compare the principles to God's Word. Does it match? Are they unified? Do they harmonize? And we do that by being in the Word and understanding the Word. Or if something seems a little bit quirky to you and your spirit, then ask a friend, say, does that sound right to you? did that seem to be the right thing? Do that. And here's another one. Compare it with lifestyle. That's a big one for me. Lifestyle. I've heard a lot of good preaching, a lot of great words, but I didn't see it. The lifestyle was inconsistent with the truth that was being said. That is so important. Because why would that be important? Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. If I'm up here preaching to you about Jesus and I'm living my life contrary to that, then I'm false. Don't have anything to do with me. That is not right. The greatest compliment we could ever have from your family, whatever, to say, you know what, Uncle Fred, he lives the Word. He loves Jesus and he's walking in Jesus. That's a wonderful testimony, isn't it? That's, I call it integrity. To me, that's so important. Integrity in the Word. Ever heard of Bob Schmedgall? Pastor Bob? Nobody? Calvary Church. Somebody? Okay, hands are up. My brother, my older brother, was at Calvary Church when Bob Schmedgall was a founder of Calvary Church. Wonderful man. Very, very relational. But Bob had a vision for Calvary Church years ago. God laid upon his heart. And by, you know, God used Pastor Bob to build that church from nothing to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, Bob, Pastor Schmedgall, got very, he was in demand for our denomination. So Bob went to a lot of conferences, out of town a lot, and so on and so forth. So he'd spend, and this is his testimony. He stood up among his congregation over 3,000 people. And he said, I have been in sin. God bless you. He said, I have been in sin. He said, all these conferences, I start getting hooked up on pornography. He said, I was in and out of these hotels all the time. He was not making excuses for himself. He's trying to explain what happened. He's up before his congregation, said, I'm coming for you. I'm stepping down as your pastor. I've already talked to our denomination, with our leaders. They're holding me accountable. I removed myself in ministry, and I'm going through their counseling. I'm going through all their steps for healing that they want me to do. I ask you for your forgiveness. I can totally understand that after this period of time, if you want me to leave and not be a pastor, I totally understand that, and I have no problems. He said, I'm going to be in this church, but I'm not under the anointing of being a pastor, so please don't come up to me asking me about church-related things, because I'm not responsible. I'm not responsible, but I'm not equipped to do that. I don't have that authority anymore. He couldn't have been as honest and raw as possible, asking for forgiveness. Pastor Bob did that. After about a year of under supervision, of counseling, whatever, the Assemblies of God spoke. I think it was Gary Blanchard, and when it was very visible in the Assemblies of God, spoke at Calvary Church. I think it was Gary. And he basically said, we have reinstated Bob. He's done everything we've asked. He's truly, sincerely repented from his sins, etc. And the people took him back, but about 400 people left, which is not surprising to me. But you see, he did it with integrity. That's the key. He did it the right way. He did it the way in Matthew, or was it Matthew 18 or 20, whatever. He did it the right way. And that is important. So it's lifestyle. Unfortunately, with Pastor Bob, after he was reinstated, within, I don't know, a few months, he died of a massive heart attack. But I so respect that. Because all of us fall short of the mark. But when you sincerely repent, what did the Bible say? God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's so cool about God. That's what he does. And then next one would be, compare it with their ministry. Compare it with their ministry. Does it, again, add up? Does that person's ministry have integrity? We cannot be two people. We cannot. You know, I'm different at home, but I'm not goofy at home where I leave my faith in this place. I try to live it. I sin like we all do, but I try to live my faith each and every day. And my wife can be a testimony to that. Though she gets irritated with me from time to time, but that is beside the point. So, you know, that's very important for us to see. And I also want to share something here from, did not John say again, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. False spirits will deny the deity of Christ. We see that all the time. Fundamentally, if you Jehovah's Witness comes to your house, ask them about Jesus. Say, what did you do with Jesus? What do you do with Jesus? Is he to you just a prophet? Is he to you just a teacher? Is he Messiah? Did he die on that cross? What do you do with Jesus? They will tell you half-truth about Jesus, but they don't hit the home run. I'm just giving you an example. The spiritual Christian, you know, or a true teacher of the word, you know, a Bible teacher or whatever, they are confirmed by the Spirit. When you become a Christian, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And Ephesians says that we are sealed until the day of redemption. We are guaranteed by the Spirit living in us. So that's one way. And we are led by the Spirit, supposedly. And we're filled with the Spirit, hopefully. Because when you have those ingredients, then you know. You know what you know what you know. Isn't it true? How many times, I say that a spiritual Christian hears the voice of the shepherd. Now, this is where it could get a little bit tricky. Hear the voice of the shepherd. When I go to Calvary Church, one of my favorite preachers is Randall Ross at Calvary. For some reason, Randall just, when I go to the, and hear Randall, I'm going, oh, man, you know, you're hitting me right in my heart. Boy, I can't believe that. Seems like that message was just for me. Ever happened to you? Feel, man, it's just for me. God, it's like God is speaking to, you know, using you to speak to me. That's a good thing. Because if you're in Christ, you have this. God gives you, His Spirit will give you a confirmation, you know. And so that's very, very important. You with me? Now we're getting into dreams and visions, and we're going to be looking at Joseph. So let's turn to Genesis 37, 5 through 7. I tell you, that's another. We could do tons of sermons on Joseph and that. I just love that story, but we're going to give just parts of it today. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, now we all know the story of Joseph. You know, he's the kind of kid you want to kind of grind him in the ground. He was just so arrogant, whatever, but Joseph had the dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Oh, really? While your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. We know his dreams came true from God. Eventually, it happened. But because of his youthful arrogance, and he was the favorite son of who? Jacob. His brothers hated him. But eventually, Joseph was sold into what? Slavery? Only to become a ruler of Egypt, where he prepared that nation and his family to survive a famine. Joseph was a dreamer. God gave him dreams. There were times in Scripture when God communicated to those he called with dreams and visions. So, and we see that in the New Testament, don't we? We see that in Acts. We see it in Luke. We see it. So we cannot discard dreams and visions today, can we? We cannot. However, there's always a however. We just need to be careful. We need to be careful because sometimes, you know, dreams and visions weren't in the Bible, weren't daily occurrences. Because we look at the Bible, Joseph had a dream. Okay, Joseph had a dream. He dreamed all of this. Then it happened the next day. It did not happen the next day. It took time, sometimes over a period of years, before these dreams or when God would give them another vision, especially in the Old Testament, where the Spirit would come and the Spirit would go. In the New Testament, we know that when we receive Jesus, the Spirit lives in us, so we have the Spirit in us all the time. He's always there. He's always with us. But we still need to be cautious. John Wesley, I still got a little bit of Methodist in me, but he was a great theologian. And he gave us sound advice when it comes to these supernatural manifestations. And he said, and I quote, he said, "Do not hastily ascribe things to God. Do not easily suppose dreams, voices, impressions, visions, or revelations to be from God. They may be from him. They may be from the devil. Therefore, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God." Then if you look at 2 John 1, 9 and 10 adds, "Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." Then he says, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him." He's talking about false teachers and so forth. But John tells us to walk in the teachings of Jesus Christ, because we need to remember, Satan can confuse, he can disrupt, he can confuse us and mess us up. Even when we have good intentions, he can do that. Sometimes we think we are so spiritual, we are so good, and that's when Satan says, "You know what? You're not as good as you think you are, because I can mess you up big time." And he does that in the church, especially the Pentecostal churches, because people get messed up with these things. They think it's from God, and it isn't from God. You know, and when you find it isn't from God, what does that do to the faith? It can shatter faith. It can set your faith back so far. That leads me to impressions. I feel led. And that's a wonderful thing, to feel led. I'm not putting that down. It's a wonderful thing. But we need to talk about impressions. And I remember when I was just a young man, it was just a few years ago, and God was giving my wife many, many things through her women's prayer. God's given them prophecy, he's given them words of knowledge, impressions, and all these kinds of things. So one day, God laid this on Jan and her group and said, at that period of time, our daughter was dealing with her leukemia. And Jan said, "God said that she would have a new birth." And Jan said, "I felt it. I know God said she would have a new birth." And then through a period of just a few short weeks, she kept probably pushing that, believing that, and all of her Christian sisters said no. They didn't say that to Jan. They just said, "No. It's not the birth that she's thinking about." But she wasn't ready to hear it. She wasn't ready to hear it. And so, well, you know what happened. You fast forward the story. Her daughter passes away. And that's when God gave her the full revelation. You say, "Well, okay, she died." Wouldn't it be logical that you say, "Well, her new birth wasn't living on this side of heaven"? No, God gave her the revelation. It was confirmed, and I'm going to share this with you. That's when Jan said to me, "You know, I knew it, and I'm saying because I'm so good or smart, but I knew that her new birth was not going to be this side of heaven. I knew that. But I didn't say anything to her. And because I guess maybe even back then, I was so young and naive, I thought, well, God's going to take care of her. I can't handle that because I got enough on my plate of what's going on in my life with God, with my daughter. So I just kind of let Jan be with her stuff and let God deal with her and the Spirit deal with her, and which he did. But I want to read something from a book. Listen, for only $9.95, you can get a book here, and you'll get a bonus. If you, for $9.95, you buy one, we'll give you one free. No. Oh, gee. Isn't that terrible? You give, yeah. See, the Spirit's definitely not leading this guy. Okay. I just wanted to share something from the book. And it was amazing to me because when I wrote this book, I wanted to be as accurate as possible. And Jan is a journalist. She journaled everything. And so I always referred back to her journals were probably my primary, outside of the Bible, were my primary resource. And it's amazing sometimes when I read back, this happened before some of you were even born, to see how God really is so faithful. And remember, we're talking about visions, dreams, whatever, they will come to pass. God doesn't fool around. God will not give a prophecy and say it's only 80% right. It's got to be 100% or I say it's not of God. So if somebody says to me, I got a prophecy from God, and I say either A, if it's not 100%, it's still in prophecy, it's still in process of being fulfilled, or you think it's fulfilled, then you're wrong. Because it's still in process. It's got to be 100%. And if you read the book, and this would be familiar, or not, if you probably memorize if you read it, but anyway. I'm reading, it said, recapping the seven wonders. Our personal relationship with Christ grew, and we stretched and were stretched and challenged. Each wonder revealed to Jan was fulfilled according to God's perfect timing. Chris's new birth, Jan and I would have a baby. The baby would be a boy. Yours truly, would choose his name, in which we never talked about this, by the way. This is something that would just, it was a God thing. Our finances would change, my vocation would change, and we'd have a new home. All seven events were fulfilled in 7 years. Right to the letter. Every one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the one about the birth really was significant for me because I realized after the fact, see, God sometimes, he doesn't reveal his whole will, what's going on, until after. Then he'll give you further revelation. I thought, God, you went from a new birth to this and this and this. How can you not deny it was God? How can you? You know, you can't. So at the end, I said, in closing, what struck me too is I thought, well, I guess for a young guy, I wasn't so stupid after all. But it said then, I put, all events were fulfilled in 7 years. How could one possibly deny God's marvelous supernatural intervention in each of these events? We did not prefabricate or make them up as we went along. We were not powerful, smart, or creative enough to do so. Praise Jesus. May he be glorified and honored forever and ever. Amen. That is spiritual gifts and prophecy and visions and all those things. They must bring glory to Jesus Christ. If they don't, I personally question them. I question them. Because I want to know, because I've seen too many people go down wrong roads because they didn't question, they just took it or took somebody's word for it. I don't, no offense to any of you, but I don't take your word for it. I will measure it against God's word. That's what I do. I don't have those kind of heroes. I don't do that. Even with my pastor friends, I will not take their word for it. You know, does it? Now, I will affirm it. It sounds right to me, but I want confirmation that is coming from God. I don't stop there and say, okay, and be naive and say, okay, then it's got to be right. No. What does the Bible say about that? Hear what I'm saying? Just be cautious. My brother's in a church of over 2,000. And they're not Pentecostal. They're very, very strong evangelical. And so my brother, being my brother, asked the pastor, lead pastor, he said, well, do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit? Do you believe in the charismatic gifts? He said, absolutely. But, he said, we just need to be cautious. And he's absolutely right. That's good wisdom. Just need to be cautious. I feel led. When we feel led, make sure that you're living in the Spirit according to Galatians 5:16. Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Amen? Because feelings can be a shaky, shaky way of determining God's guidance. We just really need to be careful. We really need to be careful not to base all of our God moments solely on feelings, dreams, impressions, and visions. They must be checked against the principles of God according to His Word. How many times have I said that this morning? They must be all the time. If we want to be true to our faith, true to our heritage, of the Holy Spirit leading us, we need to be into the Word. We need to be true to the Word. If the Word doesn't say it, we don't do it. We don't do it. If we do, if we're true to the Word, then we'll know for sure that we're being guided by God. Amen? Nobody's left, so I guess that's good. And so forth. But I want us to be free in the Spirit. I do. But I want us to be biblical, and we are in doing it. I'm not saying we're not. Just be biblical in doing it. We don't want to be doing things that aren't of God. We don't want to be doing that. Amen? God is good. Scale of 1 to 10? 3? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much. Lord, you are great. And we thank you, Lord, that you are so great, that you love us, Lord. And, you know, there's so many things, Lord. I've been a Christian for so many years, and I come to this day and realize how much I do not know. I'm still learning and still growing, Lord, still making mistakes, still saying dumb things, doing dumb things. But one thing I do know, that you love me. One thing I do know, that you love my brothers and sisters here. One thing I do know, that you do give us dreams and visions and impressions. And Lord, one thing I also know is you always give them to us according to your Word, to bring you glory, to bring your Son glory, and to bring you Holy Spirit glory as well. So I thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've given us. I'm proud of them, Lord. I'm proud that you've given them to us. Help us to use the gifts that you've given us, your gifts, Lord, to use them with integrity, to use them honestly, Lord, to use them cautiously, all for the purpose of bringing you glory and honor and drawing us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, that's about all I